I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis. That is the 48th chapter, that's Genesis, and we follow the reading of God's precious word. And we're going to read some verses throughout this passage of God's word, commencing at verse number 1. That's Genesis 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then we commence there continue at verse number 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. Then he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid upon Ephraim's head, and who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon Ephraim's head, or the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is my firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." Keeping our Bibles open there, we'll bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we have a book today, thy book, thy word, thy precious and fallible word that we can depend upon. We thank thee that we can come to it afresh, reverently, and Lord, with solemn hearts, realizing that this is the precious and fallible word of the living God. And I pray that as we have read it today, that thou wilt have written thy word upon our hearts. Help us now as we meditate upon it. We pray that it, Lord, might speak to our hearts and guide us, even as we go into the future, Lord, that we might know thy hand upon us for good. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we come to this 48th chapter, we realize that Jacob is nearing the end of the journey. And Joseph has been told that his father is sick, and he comes for a second time into his father's presence. Remember, his father called him once before as he was coming near the end of his life. He wanted a son to promise him concerning his burial that he would bury him in the land of Canaan. He would not bury him in Egypt. And having made that promise concerning his burial, Joseph then went back to the duties of state and the responsibilities that he had to carry out. But it says in verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, 'Behold, thy father is sick.'" And so in hearing that his father was sick, and this was a sickness which was indeed unto death, he makes his way to his father, and he brings with him his two boys. He brings his two sons,
Manasseh and Ephraim. As Joseph comes into his father's presence, the old man gets special strength and he pulls himself up onto the bed. And at that ripe old age of 147, he looks into the eyes of Joseph. And then he starts looking back. And that's what older people do sometimes. They start telling it how it used to be. And his memory starts to bring him back to many years before that. In actual fact, you'll notice whenever he looks back in verse number 3, Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And you know, as he looks back over his life, he remembers this. He remembers that there was a time in his own life that he was not always close to the Lord, but that God was always close to him. And friend, I believe that every one of us, there are times in our lives that we have to grievingly say, yes, there were times that we were not walking close to the Lord, but you know, God was close and God was very near to us. Oh, for that blessed moment at Bethel. Whenever God appeared to him and God blessed him in that very special way. And from then on, God not only fulfilled his promise to him, but thank God he said that God directed his path. Verse number 4, behold, God says, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give thee this land to thy seed after thee for a possession or an everlasting possession. And as he looks back over his life, he just thinks about the goodness of God. And friend, as you and I look back over our journey, the journey of life, especially from the moment we're born, but especially from the moment we're saved, thank God, God has blessed us. God has been so good to his people. And even in the lonely times, even in the dark experiences, even in those times when he was separated from his beloved Joseph, yet he knew the hand of God upon him and God's sustaining grace. Natural fact, if you go on down to verse number 7, he remembers another trial in life whenever Joseph was a young boy. He said, as for me, when I came from Paddan, he said, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And so he remembers his beloved Rachel. He remembers the day of his sorrow. He remembered how that Rachel, his beloved Rachel, had died and how that God had undertaken for him. But friend, that's all past. But what about the present? And you know, after he does that and he reviews the past, it comes to verse number 8, and then he comes into the present. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons. And so he's coming right into the present. And here's an old man. And as we look at the present, and as he thinks about the present, you know, he realizes that God never stopped blessing him. And God will not. Look at verse number 11. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. What a blessing that day was as he looked into the face of those two young lads. You know, some people, whenever they're leaving their children, whenever their children are going perhaps from them and leaving home, or whenever it comes to the maybe contacts in life with useful friends, and sometimes they say, well, I'm a good bank account, or I want to leave them the assets that will be able to carry them through. But friend, all of those things, they perish. None of those things last. What does Jacob want to leave? He wants to leave a blessing. He wants to leave a testimony of blessing. And I said last Lord's Day, and I said this, listen, if you leave your children everything else, and you don't leave behind a testimony of God's salvation, friend, let me tell you, you failed. You'll have failed as a parent. Because no greater blessing your children can have is the blessing of the knowledge that your loved one, that your father, your mother have been saved and washed in the blood. And when they close their eyes in death, it's absent from the body and it's present with the Lord. Now I want you to notice something here, some little thoughts. First of all, notice the strength. Because remember here that this old man is 147. Age has taken its toll. He's weak. The Bible says that he strengthens himself in verse number 2. Israel strengthened himself and he sat upon the bed. but he's a weak old man. And his eyes can't see, because it says in verse number 10, the eyes of Israel were dim for age. But notice that as he sits there upon the bed, his eyes catch on two little figures that were standing by Joseph. It is Manasseh and Ephraim. And he asks them a question. He says, whose are these? Who are these in verse number 8? And Joseph says, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. Now, earlier on, we find that when he was when the old man was talking to his son Joseph, he talked about the boys, but he didn't realize the boys were actually there. But thank God, God gave him strength at that moment to do two things. First of all, God gave him strength to show the sons of Joseph a grandfather's affection. Look at verse number 10. It says, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. And there we find here, even though this old man was weak and he's tired and he's weary and his eyes are so dim he can't even see the boys in the full light of day, yet whenever he says, these are my sons, he says, bring them to me, verse 9. Bring them, I pray thee, unto me. He says, and I'll bless them. Bring them to me. And verse number 12 says, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And verse number 10, he says, and he brought them near unto him. And there we find here a grandfather's affection. And he takes those boys, and I believe this is a very special moment in the life of this old man. And he reaches out his arms and he puts his arms, because the Bible says he kissed them and he embraced them. You know, affection within a family is a beautiful thing. Child, never be ashamed to show your love for your mom and dad. And mother and father, never be afraid or ashamed to show your love for your children. Because that ought to be the bond of the home. That's what keeps you together in hard times, in difficult times, even whenever it seems to be as if the tide's going out. But if you have the love of your family, if you're able to say, listen, in the midst of the darkest moment, I know there are some who love me, even though everybody else is rejecting me, I know I'm loved. I'm loved of my mom and my dad. And here we find here was an old man, grandfather. Now, I never saw any of my grandparents. I am a grandparent, but I never saw any of mine. I never knew what it was for a grandfather to reach out his arms and put them round me or kiss me on the cheek. But here's an old man. And here's a lovely affection. And God give him strength. Remember, he's so weak, he had to pull himself up on the bed. But my, he wanted to show these boys, I love you, sons. I love you. Because remember, early on, he says, listen, I'm making these boys mine. They're mine, he says. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine. And so therefore, because they were his, he showed them that special love. And so it ought to be within the family of God, friend. For God's family, that doesn't mean that God's children just run around hugging each other. But I'll tell you this, what it does mean. That God's children ought to love one another. Because that's a command. Let me tell you, that's not a suggestion by the Lord. That's a command of God. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he says, you've got to love one another. That is a command from the Lord. And here we find the family here of the old man and Joseph is standing there. And what a moment for Joseph. I believe, my friend, all those difficult days, all those hard days, were just thrown aside in Joseph's mind as he looked and he saw his father put his arms around his two boys. And he kisses them and he embraces them. All those difficult days were worth it just for that moment. for Dad to just love my children and to love me. But he not only strengthened him to show the affection of a grandfather, but he strengthened him to bless the children. And look what it says there in verse number 15. And he blessed Joseph, but he also blesses the lad. Because that's what he said in verse 9. Bring them up, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Friend, let me tell you, that's what our children need, the blessing of God. The blessing of God. Choose that rather than anything else, that your children might be blessed. And my, he blesses them. And it says in verse number 15, and he blessed Joseph, and he said, God before whom my father Abram and Isaac did walk, the God that fed me all the days or my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, he says, bless the lad. Bless the lads. And so we find he repeats the adopted blessing. They are counted as inheritors of the covenant blessing which came upon Jacob's sons. He says, let my name be named on them, verse 16. Let my name be named on them. And then he says this, the name of my fathers, Abram and Isaac, and let them grow into multitude in the midst of the earth. You know, that prophetic blessing did come to pass. And Manasseh and Ephraim were blessed with great multitudes of descendants. You know why? Because God never breaks his word. God's word will never fail. Now, there's an interesting little thought here. When it came to the blessing, you'll notice in the passage of God's word, it says in verse 2, and one told Jacob, verse 3, and Jacob said. And then it comes to the blessing. But there's something happens here. Because when it comes to the blessing, we find in verse number 10, now the eyes of Israel were dim. Verse number 11, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph. Verse number 13, and Joseph took them, both Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand. And verse number 14, and Israel stretched out his hand. That was his name. Verse 20, and he blessed them that day and said, in thee shall Israel bless. In verse 21, and Israel said unto Joseph. You see, that was the name that when God conquered Jacob and God changed him, that was the name that God gave him. He was called Jacob, the supplanter, the twister, and God changed his name to Israel, a prince with God. You see, that was the name whenever he came in submission to God. That night when he wrestled, or the angel wrestled with him. That's what it says there in verse 16. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. He wanted the Lord, because that angel that night was the Lord himself. And he says, I want the Lord to bless you. Now, I want you to see this scene. Here's the old man as he sits at the side of the bed. And here's Joseph, he comes to his father, and he sees the boys, and he says, bring them near to me. And so Joseph does that. And Joseph brings his children to his father. And he places Manasseh, the firstborn, on Israel's right hand. And he takes his second son, Ephraim, and he places him upon Israel's left hand. And as Jacob or Israel places his hands upon the head, something happens. Look at verse 14. Israel stretched out his right hand, and he laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And so he's blessing, and so as he brings them, he brings Manasseh to Israel's right hand. You see, the right hand is the hand of power. And so therefore the chief blessing was always given with the right hand. And so Joseph brings his children. But something significantly happens here. Because as Ephraim and Manasseh stand before the old man is about to reach out his hand, and he does that. He crosses his hand. You see, Joseph expected him. Now it says, he blessed Joseph in verse 15. And as he continues to speak, and Joseph is taken up with the words of his father. He doesn't realize what is happening here. And the old man, remember, he can't see, and he reaches out his hand, but he does a deliberate act, because the Bible says he did it wittingly. He did it wittingly, and he crossed his arms. Jacob, what are you doing? Israel, what are you doing? And here we see not only the strength, here we see the struggle. Because Joseph had been so caught up with a blessing, he didn't notice. But then it dawned on Joseph. And Joseph looked, and he looked at his two boys, and he noticed his father's hands were crossed like that, and the right hand was upon Ephraim's head, and the left hand was upon Manasseh's head. And Joseph, look at verse 17. When Joseph saw that his father's laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. In actual fact, it says he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and put it onto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father. Father, you made a mistake here. I brought my boys to the right place. All you had to do was put out your hand and put it upon the hand, the head of Manasseh. And my left hand, you put it upon the hand of Ephraim. But father, you've made a mistake. Put your hands on the wrong head. Not so. What are you doing? What are you doing? Was this the act of a confused old man, friend? Was just simply a mistake of the old man? Or was this the act of a rebellious old man? Because remember, that was the old Jacob. He was a rebel. He was rebellious. He was a stubborn old man. Was this what was wrong? No, it says, he guided, in verse 14, he guided his hand wittingly. This was deliberate. And so we find that Joseph, he just walks and he takes his father's hand, his right hand, and he says, Father, don't do that. And he lifts his father's hand to take it away and transplant and put it upon the head of Manasseh, his firstborn. Look at verse 19. His father refused. And he said, I know it, my son. I know it. In other words, this is not a mistake, my son. I know what I'm doing. Jacob refused to yield to Joseph's desire. What was the old man doing, friend? I'll tell you. He was yielding to the will of God. For it was God's will to bless Manasseh with a firstborn blessing. It was God's will that that right hand would be put upon Ephraim's head and not Manasseh's head. And even though his son, whom he loved dearly, misunderstood him, he was not willing to yield. And here we find a good example of giving the will of God priority regardless of what others think or say. You see, Jacob had put his own will aside. He was yielding to the will of God. Now, I believe that the old man that day remembered something. He remembered that in his own young life, he had rebelled against the will of God. He had remembered the failures in his own life and the disasters that came upon it because of not submitting to God's will. He remembered the failure of Isaac, his father, in trying to bypass God's will when his father wanted to put the blessing upon Esau's head instead of his. But Jacob had been conquered by God. And he anchored himself to the will of God. And my friend, therein lies a lesson for every child of God, friend. You need to be anchored to the will of God, come what may. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Truly, that day, Jacob became Israel, conquered by God. Is your will conquered by the Lord, friend? Are you self-willed? Do you want things your way in your life? Are you willing to yield completely unto the will of God? You know, reading the scriptures reveals how that God had revealed his absolute sovereignty in election here. God was not bound and is not bound by human wisdom. Many times, you know, God reverses the order. He chose Jacob instead of Esau. He chose Joseph instead of Reuben. He chose Isaac instead of Ishmael. And now he chooses Ephraim before Manasseh. And as Joseph lifts his father's hand, and his father wouldn't budge that day. He said, "Not so, my son." Or my father. And he said, "I know, my son. I know what I'm doing. This is the will of God." And Joseph learned a precious lesson that day. Godly Joseph. That you have to submit your natural desires to God's providential plan. But God. God had making a choice. And friend, you and I have got to be willing to go with God, no matter what that means. No matter how difficult the road may be, we have got to be willing to go with God. And there was no human reason, there was no merit in this. There was no human reason why that the old man did this. Other than God. And quickly we come to the summary. It says there in verse number 21, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you." Joseph, I have to go. But God's going to stay. I die, but God with you and bring you onto the land of your fathers. I know time's away this morning, but Charles Haddon Spurgeon once preached a sermon in which he linked the text there in verse 21, "But God shall be with you," with three other references to God's presence in Jacob's story. And I'll just mention them to you, and you can take them yourself. Genesis chapter 28, and the verse number 15. And Spurgeon said here is a reference in chapter 28 and the verse number 15. "And behold, I am with thee, Jacob was alone that night. He was away from his family. He was running from his brother. He was forced to leave home because of Esau. And God brought the comfort to his child. He says, look, look, look here, Jacob. I am with thee. And then Genesis chapter 31, in verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Yes, you can go home again, Jacob. You can face Esau. You can face whatever it is. Do you know why? Because I will be with thee. What a promise. Verse number 5 of the same chapter. And said unto them, and Jacob, verse 4, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. I am with thee. I will be with thee. And looking back, he can say, yes, and he hath been with me. Chapter 35, verse number 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Yes, he was obedient to God, and God was with him. And then here in chapter 48 and verse 21, and Jacob says, Joseph, God shall be with thee. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Friend, what a testimony to leave as an old man. That day when he placed his hand of blessing upon Ephraim and Manasseh, that day when he blessed Joseph, he says, Joseph, I die. But don't worry, son. I'm going the way of all the earth. But God will be with thee. And he says, I'll tell you something more. Not only will God be with you, but God will bring you into the land of your fathers. God's going to keep his word. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, commenting on the passing on of the torch to another generation, said this: if Abram dies, there is Isaac. If Isaac dies, there is Jacob. If Jacob dies, there is Joseph. If Joseph dies, Ephraim and Manasseh survive. The Lord shall never lack a champion to bear his standard high among the sons of men. Only let us pray God to raise up more faithful ministers day and night. We have plenty of a sort, but oh, for more that will weigh out 16 ounces to the pound of gospel in such a way that people will receive it. We have too much of fine language, too much of florid eloquence, and little full and plain gospel preaching. But God will keep up the apostolic succession. Never fear of that. When Stephen is dying, Paul is not far off. When Elijah was taken up, he leaves his mantle behind him. The time will come when we'll all have to pass on to glory. Let us praise God for his faithfulness here. And we will praise him there. What a Savior. But God with you. Friend, if you're not saved today, you haven't that comfort. And no matter what else you have, you can't have that assurance. Because it's only those who are dying in Christ will go to be with him. And thank God those who are saved and left behind, God will be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the sweet assurance that we have that the Savior has promised he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. We thank the Lord that we can, our conversation be without, can be without covetousness, and we can therefore be content with such things as we have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Lord, as we come to the end of an old year, and in thy will thy people look into a new year, we thank thee our God will never walk alone. God with us. Save those who are not saved. Bring them to thyself. In Jesus' name. Amen.